Hello and welcome to Python 411, computer programming for everybody. This podcast is about Python and XML, extensible markup language, which is, it's a subset of SGML. And, of course, HTML is sort of it is XML. Well-formed HTML is a subset or an implementation of XML. This subject is of great importance because XML and HTML are the infrastructure of the web, becoming more so every day. And also because you can, instead of doing platform-specific GUI implementations of Python programs, it is often best to do internet-enabled Python programs. In other words, programs that use the internet as their interface. And HTML markup and forms and tables, and perhaps a little JavaScript, but certainly HTML and XML. And thirdly, it's important because Python is perhaps the best language for manipulating XML. I may be prejudiced there, but there are more Pythonic tools than you can possibly shake a stick at. And I'm just going to mention a few of the better ones in this podcast. And lastly, it's important because of the current popularity of AJAX, which is asynchronous JavaScript and XML, which is a combination. It's a way to make internet applications more responsive by using the XML HTTP request function. And AJAX stands for, it's really a combination of JavaScript and XML and CSS, which is cascading style sheets, and also of, lastly, the DOM, the document object model, which is one of the preferred ways of programmatically manipulating XML. So XML and HTML have really become to dominate the web. In fact, it has been said that XML has become the infrastructure and that this angle bracket syntax has quietly managed to wend its way into every aspect of computer technology. So it is all based about, it's a markup language using these angle brackets. The angle brackets that we all know and love. You have to know HTML. If you're a true newbie, HTML is just as vital as Python. You know, you have the tags are simply angle brackets with a word in between. So in HTML, you have the tag HTML. So it's an angle bracket with HTML in it. And then you have to close every tag with an angle bracket with a forward slash, just a regular old slash, angle bracket slash, then HTML, closing angle bracket. So in any well-formed HTML document, you have at least an HTML tag and a header tag, a head tag, and then a title tag, and then a body tag where you put the body of your text. And you close all of those, and ultimately you have a well-formed HTML page. XML is the same way, except that with XML, it's open-ended in that you can define tags. HTML has only a defined set of tags. But for XML, you can define any tags you want to define as long as you use them consistently and form well-formed XML documents. So in other words, you could form your own domain-specific XML dialect for baseball, and one of the tags could be inning. So as long as you had inning between angle, opening and closing angle brackets, and then you close after you put the information in inning in text or data, you close it with a angle bracket slash inning closing angle bracket. So there you have. So in a way, HTML and XML are extraordinarily simple. The basic concepts are as simple as they get, and it's up to us to apply them correctly. Key advantages of XML include application neutrality, hierarchical structure, platform neutrality, and good support for international languages. So we mentioned that XML is hierarchical. This just means that you can nest subsets of tags, or which contain elements, within other tags or elements, and therefore each nested thing can be looked at in an object-oriented way, just like with Python we use object-oriented concepts for programming. Also, remember that the elements can have attributes. So if you have an angle bracket with an element in it, you could also include a color attribute or a size attribute or something of this sort. It's also, of course, with HTML and Ajax, very, very common to use these cascading style sheets. Instead of using, in the early days of HTML, as I did, elements such as font is equal to 12 for font size, or font size is equal to 12, now you separate the presentation in a cascading style sheet from the actual data that you are presenting. And remember that XML can be used to represent both data or text. I think it works very best for text, but for data it works, but it's a little bit slow. It takes a lot of processing power to have a database with data made up in an XML format, but that's becoming a very common way to do it, of course. Now, I mentioned that Python has perhaps more tools than any other language for using XML, which is one of the advantages of Python, and some of the key Python programmers became some of the key XML programmers very early on, so it's a great advantage that we have. And I'll put links to many of the more favorite tools right in my website show notes that you can look up. But probably the most common tool is PyXML, the PyXML module, which is able to manipulate the DOM. And then there, as I said, there are a plethora of other Pythonic tools. The major generic tools, no matter what language you're using to program XML in, the main tools include something called XPath, which is a way to find an element within an XML document, and XSLT, which is a transformation language to transfer an XML document to some other kind of format or vice versa. And I mentioned, of course, probably the most important of all is the DOM, the document object model. Now, there is, and that you can manipulate that, of course, using things like PyXML. Another lightweight way to access the XML is with the SACS, which is the simple API for XML. I prefer the DOM myself because it is so powerful, but SACS is also a common tool, and there's good Pythonic tools for using SACS also. Now, I mentioned so many other tools, and one of the most important suite of tools or set of tools for Python is called ForeSuite. This is a very powerful, and it duplicates a lot of what's in PyXML, and there's a lot of overlap, but it's very worthwhile looking at all on its own, especially for doing manipulations using XSLT, which is the extensible style sheet transformation languages. XSLT for transforming one kind of markup to another, one kind of document to another, ForeSuite has a particularly powerful way to manipulate that, along with tools to manipulate the DOM and RDF, the resource description format, and XPointer, XLink, and XPath, and SOAP. I could create a list a mile long of other Pythonic tools you can use, but you can find them all on the python.org website, and I'll have links to the more popular ones in my show notes. So, again, XML is the future, and you need to know about it, and certainly HTML forms and tables are a great way for simple GUI interaction with your programs, and it's a platform-independent way to do things. So this is really the way to go and an important topic for you. On my website, there are links in the tutorials page to 14 different tutorials on HTML and XML subjects, on Pythonic subjects. So, you know, pick a couple of the ones there that look the most interesting to you, and you can certainly learn HTML and XML using Python. In addition to those tutorials about XML and HTML, I will have links in the show notes to the other sites that have a lot of XML material for you. So that's really the way to learn it. It's probably the most important thing you can learn other than Python itself. So this is a period of great change in the Python 411 podcast series. It's a very busy season here in the holidays as we go towards the new year. After studying the situation, I'm finally ready to buy some equipment to start doing interviews, phone interviews of Pythonic personalities, hopefully starting with Michael Ford. Also, I hope to do a podcast predicting the top 10 events in the Python community for the year 2006. So that'll be an interesting podcast. And I'm still working on getting my own Python scripts that I wanted to complete by Thanksgiving to try to get them done by the New Year's Day, and I'll podcast about them. So meantime, I hope you'll hang in there and perhaps go on over to Podcast Alley and vote for Python 411, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes along with the Yahoo podcast site and Podcast Pickle, where you can do the same. And I really appreciate feedback of any type to help me do a better job in this podcast series. And don't forget to check out the website, where there's a lot of materials for learning Python. That's www.awaretech.com. python. For now, over and out, and talk to you again soon.